Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, and it's a pleasure to be with you once again, to you, your loved ones, wherever you may be listening. Merry Christmas Eve to you, and happy Grizzmas morning after. The first game of the season was last night, as I mentioned several times before, a moment that we've all been waiting for. It was the Grizzlies versus the Spurs. Unfortunately, the Grizzlies have started off the season with the loss. You know, something that actually is not an uncommon occurrence here. The Grizzlies are now 5-21 in franchise history when it comes to opening night losses, but a 131-119 opening night loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Bit of a bittersweet night. Yes, the loss certainly stings. It's obviously not ideal, but obviously so much to talk about from the absolutely historic performance from Ja Morant, and we'll get into that in the first segment. Just what made it so historic, and why it truly is another, you know, valid indication of just how rare and special of a talent Ja is. We'll cover his performance in the first segment. In the second segment, I'll break down the game. While we got off to a great start initially, what occurred that really stood out that kind of, you know, put the Grizzlies in a hole that they just could not get out of, especially in that second quarter of last night's game. In the third segment, I'll talk about how, despite the, you know, less than ideal performance last night, there are some optimistic things to look forward to. Some uncharacteristic negatives from last night that I think the Grizzlies can easily right the ship on as they go forward into the schedule, starting against Atlanta on Saturday. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can also find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcast. Locked On Grizzlies is there. My name is Sean Coleman. It's a pleasure to be with you. Very thankful that we now are able to talk about actual basketball, and just cannot express in words how grateful I am that includes being able to talk about Ja Morant. Ja Morant had an absolutely wonderful, historical, and just absolutely eye-opening performance last night. Overall, 44 points of the night, 9 assists, had 2 rebounds, but the biggest thing about it is 2 steals. Only one turnover, a 9-1 turnover to assist to turnover ratio. Just an incredible, incredible performance by Ja Morant. And the great thing about it is that when it comes to Morant's ability, he once again showed that he is going to step up in the most critical times of the game. In the second half, when the Grizzlies unfortunately had fell behind by a large lead, though there was never a truly impactful a big impact on the scoreboard, because every time the Grizzlies got going, the Spurs just had an answer. We'll talk about that in a bit. But 34 points in the second half for Morant. That ties Jaren Jackson Jr. for the most points in a half in Grizzlies franchise history. But the even more incredible thing about it is, as I mentioned last year, Ja Morant again just stepped up in the fourth quarter. 18 points in the fourth quarter reminded me a lot of his game against the Brooklyn Nets last year, in which he had the big fourth quarter that led to the comeback, had the big block on Kyrie, and then we won in overtime. That's what this game felt like at times, though it didn't lead us to a comeback. Just Ja's ability just to do what he wanted to at will was just incredible. And it makes sense. The thing about Ja that I mentioned before, and that others have mentioned before, is that despite his absolutely immense talent level, natural talent level, it's the mindset that he has of knowing when and where to put his strengths on display. And that's in the fourth quarter, when defenses are tired and his ability to get to the rim really stands out. And he did it again last night. That's why he was one of the best fourth quarter scorers, you know, last season in the NBA. Not for a rookie, but he was one of the best fourth quarter performers, not only in the entire NBA last year, and overall, he was one of the most historically effective fourth quarter performers as a rookie in NBA history. But last night was the latest example of Ja having a characteristic that you don't see a lot of very good young players have, and that's his takeover ability. As I mentioned before, in the preseason, one thing that I felt after that Minnesota Timberwolves game, after the first game of the preseason, I felt that we are going to be surprised at the number of times this season when we're watching a Grizzlies game that Ja Morant is the most influential or impactful talent on the court, despite some of the names that he'll be playing with. He showed that he was that way with Karl Anthony Towns on the court again in Minnesota, and also with Trae Young, you know, in Atlanta. Obviously, it was the preseason. But still, last night, when Ja Morant was on the court, the Grizzlies were the better team. You saw it at the start of the game. You saw it in the fourth quarter, at the beginning of the third quarter. The Grizzlies were highly effective with Ja in the game because not only of his ability to score, but the floater was just absolutely on point last night, but also in setting up teammates. He tied the Grizzlies' franchise record for most assists in an opening night game with 9 assists. Literally, Ja himself was responsible for more than 60 points last night. That is incredible for a point guard, you know, to do that. You know, and Ja does it on a consistent basis. I mentioned earlier in the offseason, I felt that one statistic to keep track of with Ja was his ability to produce 45 or more points per game on a regular basis for the Grizzlies. He certainly surpassed that last night. It's just obviously other factors kept the Grizzlies from winning. But the other big thing about Ja's performance last night was just how historic it was in terms of the league and the Grizzlies franchise. In terms of the league itself, Ja was actually the youngest player to ever score 40 or more points in a season opener in NBA history. He also scored the second highest points ever for a player in his second season opener. Only Elgin Baylor scored more as an NBA sophomore in a season opener than Ja Morant. But the incredible thing about Ja was just where was the rare company that he joined for a player of his age in terms of his production last night. Ja Morant joined Trae Young, Michael Jordan, Allen Iverson, Luka Doncic, LeBron James, Isaiah Thomas, and Oscar Robertson as the only players to ever score 42 or more points and produce 9 or more assists in a game at the age of 21. Now, obviously, it's just one game. And seeing a player be able to get 40-plus points and nearly 10 assists, that typically happens, probably a few times a season. I mean, Trae Young has done it several times in his career. But the point of that statistical threshold is just how rare Ja's ability to take over a game is at a young age. And that's the big takeaway from all this, is that we truly have a player who can take over a game on a regular basis to really elevate the Grizzlies to overcome their inefficiencies, and they had plenty of them last night, or to give them the extra boost at the end that they need to win the game. And the other great thing about it is this, is that Basketball Reference has a metric called game score. It's a way in which Basketball Reference gives individual grades to games by individual players, obviously. According to Basketball Reference, last night was the single greatest performance by a Grizzlies player in NBA, in the history of the franchise. That's it. It was the single greatest individual performance by a Grizzlies player in franchise history. Now, that certainly may be debatable, but in terms of the overall production and impact that a player made on the game, Ja Morant, according to GameScore, had the best game a Grizzlies player has ever had. And we've already talked about how it feels as if we've never had a talent like his. He seems to be the best natural talent that this franchise has ever had. Obviously, the player with the biggest brand that this franchise has ever had. And for him to put on this type of display in the opener, in the season opener of the second year of his career, really starts to open eyes, not only in Memphis, but around the league, as to the true superstar potential this player has. I can't tell you how many people I talked with over the past 24 hours who came to me and said, Ja Morant literally is an MVP-type talent. And he is. Like, we, you know, these players that we've seen him compared to, Derrick Rose and others, like, that's the feeling that you got watching him play last night. I'm not saying that Ja Morant's going to be an MVP this season, but you see the ability that Rose, for instance, showed on a consistent basis during his MVP caliber season. So in just so many ways, it was such an historic performance. And the amazing thing about it with Ja Morant is that he'll be the first one to tell you. He was the first one to tell us last night. In his opinion, he played all right, but the Grizzlies didn't win. So that was the biggest takeaway that he had from the game. That's the reason why he's so special. You see the natural talent that he has. You see the desire to want to play at all times. He talked about it last night. He said that the thing that really he made a commitment to coming into this year was to play more aggressive at all times. If Ja Morant wasn't all the time locked in last year, and this is the version of Ja Morant that we get when he's locked in this year, we're going to be in for an absolutely incredible ride. And the fact that Ja Morant still is not satisfied because the Grizzlies did not win, that's the biggest takeaway for me of all. That's the thing that stands out of all. His maturity and mindset are well beyond his years, and it's the type of mindset and maturity that you know has to be there for a player to be a true superstar. And that's what Ja Morant is. I know we keep talking about Ja Morant has superstar potential. He has the ability to be one of the best players in the NBA. I will go as far as to say he's there now. I don't think he's a top 10 NBA player right now. I do think that there are definite strides he needs to make in his game to really be the type of primary player a team needs to have to be a true title contender. But in terms of what defines a superstar in today's game, if you consider Trae Young and you consider Luka Doncic and other young players as superstars, Ja Morant continues to show he is right on their level, and when it comes to his ability to play make, could be even better at times. The Grizzlies have their superstar, and the great thing about it is that yes, we have it for the future, but we also sure as hell have it for the present, and that comes from the incredible performance that Ja Morant put on last night. But as many positives as there are to speak about Ja Morant's performance last night, it still was not enough for the Grizzlies to be able to win. Coming up, I'm going to talk about it, make a few points about last night's game that really stood out to me as indications that this Grizzlies team does have a long way to go to accomplish its desire to be a true playoff contender. Are you ready for some football? You've had it for months, but how about some really important high-leverage football? The College Bowl season is here, leading up to the College Football Playoff. The NFL season, obviously, has been in full swing for months, but now the home stretch for playoff positioning and some really important games are going on. When it comes to the NFL regular season and the College Football Bowl season, a lot of things go into place. But there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. We've got NFL games of the week. So many teams still have playoff chances, and a lot of factors will come into each individual outcome. At BetOnline.ag, you can follow the lines, enhance your fun watching the games, and potentially profit from some wagers that you make. College bowl games are some of the best times of the year to make wagers that you're confident in. Over at BetOnline.ag, they've got helpful hints. They can let you know what factors matter in the games, as well as lines that are easy to follow, and again, can enhance your ability as a fan to not only enjoy the games, but also profit off of them as time goes on. And of course, the NBA season is here. We're in full swing. The Grizzlies are back playing basketball again. Another great opportunity for you not only to enjoy the games, but also make a little money from your educated guesses and your confidence in certain teams' winnings. Don't sit on the sideline anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 58% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks expert. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your sign-up bonus. Hashtag BetOnline. The holidays are all about giving, so I'm giving you a hot tip that can earn you some extra cash. The new Locked On Mets podcast is hosted by Lee Sterling of ParamountSports.com. Lee is red hot to start the season, and he shares a lock of the day for every episode. Subscribe to Locked On Mets today wherever you get your podcasts. So really excited to say that we're going to have another day of two podcasts to get you ready for the Christmas holiday, obviously, as well as a game preview on Saturday before the Grizzlies play the Hawks. Obviously going to do this review of the Grizzlies' first game of the season, but really excited also to let you know that Seth Partnow, known as Anchorage Man, part of the group over The Athletic, one of the head researchers, NBA researchers over The Athletic, he is going to be kind enough to join us for our second episode today. Really excited to talk with him. Him and Dave DeFore, who I know a lot of Memphis fans follow, they recently released an article over The Athletic talking about the Grizzlies season preview and what to really look out for, what they're excited about when it comes to the Grizzlies. So Seth Partnow of The Athletic will be joining me for a special episode later on this morning. So obviously, there were so many great things to take away from the Grizzlies' performance with the San Antonio Spurs when it comes to Ja Morant. But another thing that really stood out was this, was that despite the incredible effort of Ja Morant, the Grizzlies still lost by more than 10 points. That really stinks. It really, really does. As many people have stated, you have to take absolute full advantage of a performance like this from Ja Morant. But what stands out to me about it is this, is that no matter how awesome Morant plays, and as we mentioned, he arguably had the greatest performance by a Grizzlies player ever in a single game. No matter how awesome he plays, the Grizzlies overall have to be at their best in several areas to be able to beat potential playoff teams consistently in this league. And it just doesn't leave a lot of room for error. And that's what stood out to me last night, is that this Grizzlies team has a lot of promise. This Grizzlies team is in a better position than it was last year. And many players have progressed. They are in better places than they were a year ago. A lot of those things are true. But another thing that is true is this, is that the Grizzlies just do not have the ability to have several aspects of their game be lackluster and still expect to win. And despite the first quarter last night, that's truly what we saw. And so what stood out to me was that in the first quarter, again with Ja on the court, the Grizzlies got off to a great start. They were able to hit threes. Kyle Anderson, Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, all were able to get going as far as their shot goes in the first quarter. But after that first quarter, and especially towards the end of the first quarter into the second, once the Grizzlies, I believe they got up by 12 at one point, unfortunately the Spurs kept coming back and they started to really be able to hit their shots. The thing that stood out to me the most last night, more than anything about the Grizzlies, is that you instantly could tell that beneficial boost that comes from the Grizzlies bench that truly was one of the best benches in the NBA last year and has the potential to be the best even this year. It simply was not there. Overall, for Memphis, here's the plus minus of the five bench players that played for Memphis last night. Brandon Clark was a -8. Gorgie Dang was a -6. Desmond Bane was a -6. De'Anthony Melton was a -7. Tyus Jones was a -20. When Tyus Jones was in the game, the Grizzlies absolutely had no answer for the Spurs. As that second quarter went on, it just felt like the Spurs were hitting every mid-range shot. But not only that, they were able to willingly get to the line on a consistent basis. And overall, the Spurs outshot the Grizzlies 25-20, the Spurs were 25-29 from the free throw line last night. The Grizzlies were 11-18. When you're getting 11 less free throw shots than your opponent does, and you're only shooting 60% from the free throw line, that is a huge obstacle to overcome. But what really stood out besides the bench was the Grizzlies' defense. Now, they played well in the first quarter, but unfortunately, they allowed four straight quarters of the Spurs scoring 30 points or more. It felt like the Spurs were playing at a level, especially in that second quarter. They were playing at a similar level that we saw last year when we lost to them by 30. I believe it was 145-115. And what was the worst defensive performances by the Grizzlies in the history of the franchise. The Spurs were that hot at times last night. But the reason why the Grizzlies were so ineffective is because after the first quarter, not only were they not, they weren't challenging the mid-range and three-point looks consistently, like I had mentioned and others had mentioned they were going to have to do to really have an advantage against the Spurs. So they weren't defending those shots. But it's a little bit more understanding if you're not defending those shots, if you're able to really prevent good looks in the paint. If you're able to prevent good looks at the rim, if you're making life hard, contesting a lot of shots in the paint, protecting it well, it's understandable that you may not be able to get to every shot to contest on the perimeter. But that's the thing about it. The Grizzlies were not effective at all when it came to their ability to guard the paint. Though they outscored the Spurs last night 66-60 in terms of points in the paint, it took Ja Morant's 18-point fourth quarter to really make that difference. For three quarters, the Spurs outplayed the Grizzlies at their strengths. In the paint, out-rebounding them. But the other thing was that the Grizzlies' ability to defend the paint was just not there. The Spurs got 30 free throw attempts. They got 12 more free throw attempts and 30 on the night, despite the Grizzlies only committing 20 personal fouls. It just was every time that the Grizzlies were trying to get their defense set, the Spurs were able to get to the rim, and as we know with DeMar DeRozan and others, they were able to get to the free throw line consistently. And so that's something that the Grizzlies have got to make sure that they shore up. They've got to make sure that if they can't get to every contested shot, that's understandable. It's hard to do that in today's NBA. But if you're not doing that, You have to have a good reason why you're not doing it. And that's effectively guarding the paint. I had asked Taylor Jenkins in the preseason, you know, what the Grizzlies were focusing on as far as their ability to defend the perimeter. And he stated, and in my opinion, it was a very good point, that they're basing it off their top 10 defense in the paint. They were top 10 last year in defending the paint. They feel that if they can have more confidence in that this year, and they have more confidence in their one-on-one ability on the perimeter, they feel that that's going to put them in a good place to at least have a defense they can rely on. Well, last night it was not there. Their inability to defend the paint is what allowed for the Spurs to consistently hold their lead. And that was another thing about last night. You know, I stated it on Twitter. I felt that when it came to the starters, and especially with Ja Morant on the court, the Grizzlies were the better team in terms of the starting lineups. They played like the better team. That's when they got their biggest lead and when they really started to try to, you know, make, you know, to get incrementally back into the game in the third quarter. But the problem is that overall it was a very efficient game, especially from the Spurs end. The Spurs on the night only had 10 turnovers themselves to the Grizzlies' 11. But I don't think that that tells the whole story. The Spurs were able to get 17 points off the Grizzlies' turnovers, while the Grizzlies were only able to get 11. And the thing about it is that just that every time the Grizzlies seemed to get on a run, every time that they would score a few points in a row to cut the lead under 10, the Spurs would come right back. They either would get a good play like an and one, an open three. They would have a couple of possessions where it felt like it was a stop, but it was instead a ticky-tack foul that led to two free throws. Or Memphis would make a crucial mistake. Though Memphis only made one fewer turnover than San Antonio did in the game, there were at least 5 to 6 occurrences in which it was just an absolutely inexcusable mistake by the Grizzlies, and it led to a very easy basket for the Spurs. So every single time the Grizzlies would start to get momentum, something ineffective would prevent them, either a turnover or a foul or a bad defensive look, it would prevent them from getting back in the game, and ultimately that's what made the difference in the game. So overall, the Grizzlies getting their usual boost from the bench, it was not there. Their defense after the first quarter left a lot to be desired. It seemed to be, you know, undisciplined at times. It seemed as if, you know, they weren't necessarily, you know, they didn't seem lost, but it just seemed like the Grizzlies did not have an answer for the Spurs' approach. If the Grizzlies finally focused on the outside shots, it felt like a lot in the bubble. If the Grizzlies focused on one aspect that they were trying to stop of the Spurs' offense, they would not be able to overcome, you know, focusing on that. They wouldn't be able to have an answer at something else. It just seemed like through DeRozan's ability to get to the basket as well as Aldridge's mid-range and then the supporting cast's eventual timely three-point shooting, the Spurs just had answers for whatever the Grizzlies were trying to do on defense, and the Grizzlies could not adjust. So obviously, the big takeaway from last night is this, and as we, you know, it's expected. The Grizzlies are missing two of their four best players, Jaren Jackson Jr. and Justice Winslow. Though this Grizzlies roster certainly expects to win every game, and Taylor Jenkins expects for them to be competitive every game, as they should be, those are two huge losses for a roster itself that, in my opinion, is probably barely league average in terms of, you know, the natural talent across the league. That's nothing against the Grizzlies. That's expected when you're at the start of your second year of a true multi-year rebuild that any team, you know, where the Grizzlies were a few years ago, needs to go through. But that's the thing to remember, and a big takeaway from last night, I feel, is that without Justice and without Jaren, and even with them when they come back, the Grizzlies are going to have to play a lot of their strengths. They're going to have to play towards the best in a lot of aspects when it comes to their bench, when it comes to their defense and other things, and when it comes to limiting mistakes. They're going to have to play very effectively in multiple areas on a consistent basis to be a true playoff contender. And if a lot of those areas are lackluster, no matter how awesome of a performance Ja Morant or others put on, it's going to be a hard obstacle to overcome, especially when you play veteran teams who are efficient like San Antonio. So yes, there were plenty of negatives last night, but there are a few things to remember from last season, the bubble, and the preseason that I do think are positives going forward. Yes, the Grizzlies lost last night. Yes, there was a lot left to be desired, and yes, the defense is a bit of a concern, but I do think that there are a few areas in where the Grizzlies can right the ship, and there are a few players who really, in my mind, offered positive debuts for the Grizzlies that they'll need going forward. Coming up, I'll talk about a few of the positives, a bit of a more optimistic outlook for the Grizzlies than you might think after last night's performance. Locked On Women's Basketball is the only daily podcast covering the world of women's hoops. Join as an all-star cast of hosts each day of the week for a comprehensive look at the worlds of the WNBA women's college basketball and international competitions that you simply won't find anywhere else. Subscribe to Locked On Women's Basketball on your favorite podcast provider. As mentioned, later on today, I will be joined by the man known as Anchorage Man, Seth Partnow of The Athletic, one of the NBA researchers over The Athletic. Him and Dave DeFore had a great article coming out about the Grizzlies in The Athletic before yesterday's game. But just in general, you know, he has a history of being a head researcher in the NBA for the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll talk with him about the season preview, about Ja's historical performance last night, and just in general, different ways to analyze the individual performances of some of the NBA's young stars. Really looking forward to diving into the mind of Seth Partnow for a great perspective on the Grizzlies and the NBA. That's coming up later on today. So obviously there was a lot of takeaways from last night's game, and some were truly concerning and negative. The defense, the bench's lackluster play, you know, there were certainly things that stood out about the Grizzlies that, you know, we thought that they would be in a much better place in, but unfortunately they just did not have in place last night. But there are a few optimistic things, I feel, that remind us that this is just the first game. It reminds us not to have too much of an overreaction. We're going to have an overreaction no matter what. This is the only basis that we have to go by when it comes to the Grizzlies, you know, basketball so far this season. But it's important to remember that not only is it the opening game of the season, but also things will get better as the Grizzlies see more and more of these performances and make adjustments. Again, a great thing about the Grizzlies' continuity and a big difference from last year to this year is that the Grizzlies have a lot more knowledge for each other and in terms of their own individual games, and we saw a few of those things last night that really were important. You know, I mentioned when it came to the Grizzlies' ability to really step forward as a playoff contender, they were going to have to limit mistakes. They were going to have to improve their three-point production and defense of the other team's three-point production. And they were going to need to find multiple ways for Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson in the starting lineup to support Ja and Jonas. And that's exactly what both Kyle Anderson and Dylan Brooks did. Last night, Dylan Brooks had a very efficient game. Now, he was not thrilled with the defensive performance of the Grizzlies, and understandably. Unfortunately, he did get into a bit of foul trouble. As in fact, he fouled out of the game. So that's obviously something that's going to stand out about Dylan. You know, no matter how well he plays better, which he did have a very good game last night, if he continues to get these fouls, and unfortunately it just seems like he's a target for these very cheap ticky-tack fouls, but if that's a consistent thing, an adjustment has to be made. He did foul out last night and wasn't too thrilled with his defense overall. Hopefully that continues to improve as the season goes along. But a very efficient night from Dylan on the court. 7-14 from the floor, had 6 assists, and also he shot 1-3 from 3. So not the three-point production that we had hoped we had seen. But overall, 14 shots, 50% field goal percentage, as well as 6 assists and 4 rebounds. The decision-making improvement was there. The playmaking improvement was there. The better shot selection was there. If we get this type of performance from Dylan on a consistent basis, hopefully with maybe one or two more threes added in, he's going to contribute to a lot more wins than he is going to take away from us in losses. So a very good opening game offensively for Dylan. You truly saw the step forwards that were needed, and he mentioned it before the game. In the bubble, he was disappointed that he was so shot happy. So this offseason, he worked on his handles, he worked on his decision making, he worked on his overall approach to become a better player, and you could truly see it shine through last night. Kyle Anderson, he didn't have the shooting performance that he had during the bubble, though he did make a big three in the first quarter. However, though his defense again was lacking, there's not really much to, you know, compliment when it came to the Grizzlies' defense last night. He contributed with 10 rebounds and as well as 2 assists. Now, he didn't have any blocks or steals, which we had hoped would be a big part of his game, but 10 rebounds. Another thing last night that really stood out about the Grizzlies, unfortunately, was that it seems like that rebounding is going to be a bigger weakness this year without Jaren Jackson Jr. Despite Jaren Jackson Jr. not getting a lot of rebounds, he was another big body with enough defensive acumen about himself to know how to keep other big bodies off the boards for Jonas and others to collect the rebound. At last night, the Grizzlies got out-rebounded by the Spurs, 48-42. Again, it was much. Typically, the Spurs were ahead by 10 or 12 rebounds, and the Grizzlies could not get any second looks, and they were also, giving up a few offensive rebounds on their end. But that was the thing about it. So Kyle Anderson's 10 rebounds was a huge contributing factor. He's going to have to legitimately be our second or third best rebounder while Justice and Jaren are out, and he's going to have to consistently get 8 to 10 rebounds a night for the Grizzlies to not just be absolutely dominated in that area, in which it could make a big difference for their opposition. So overall, Kyle and Dylan had good games last night. Neither one of them stood out, and their scoring, especially on Kyle's end, was not where it was in the preseason, but finding multiple ways in which they could add value truly was, that was encouraging to see as far as offense goes. The other big area that I'm not worried about is the bench. I know that there were a couple of things that were said as far as Brandon Clark's shot last night. I agree. On his three-point attempts, it did not look good, and when he first came into the game, his impact did not look good as well. However, in the fourth quarter, it seemed like that with Jaw, he was certainly starting to get his feel going. He was getting the spring back in his steps. He's been dealing with a bit of injury. Didn't play that much in the preseason, so it's probably going to take him a bit of time. It certainly seemed as if he was either not completely at 100% or was still getting his feet under him after a very unprecedented offseason, so it may take a bit of time. Now, I know, again, the Grizzlies don't have a lot of room for error. They need Brandon Clark to be as good and efficient as he was last year, and even more so this year with Justice and Jaren out, but it may take some time. So not too concerned about Brandon Clark. Also not too concerned about the bench in general. Last night, the Grizzlies went with Grayson Allen over DeAnthony Melton in the starting lineup. In the first quarter, it did prove to be valuable because Grayson's ability to hit those two threes is what helped the Grizzlies get off to a big lead. I still think DeAnthony is probably the more sensible starting option because I really, really am encouraged by what the Grizzlies could do in their second unit with the shooting and playmaking combinations of the trio of Desmond Bain, Grayson Allen, and Tyus Jones, along with Brandon Clark. They really could be a highly efficient, highly effective, productive offense that gives the Grizzlies the boost that they need, especially against better talents. That may be something we see in time. But the bench last night was not where it needed to be, and it was uncharacteristic. It was not expected. So I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I will say that last night was just, opening game. It was a bad game. Those types of games are going to happen. Obviously, I expect for the Grizzlies to be able to right that ship. So, yes, the Grizzlies do certainly have some concerning aspects from last night that, it's within question whether or not they're going to be able to correct them enough and quickly enough to really right the ship and try to get an above 500 record going before Justice and Jaren get back. That's the defense and that's the rebounding, obviously. But I do think that they will continue to play better as time goes on. I think the bench just had a bad game. It'll be back on it in terms of its effectiveness, as soon as Saturday. And I also think that there were highly encouraging, opportunities last night that both Dylan Brooks and Kyle Anderson showed to be in that starting lineup as the supporters for Jaw and Jonas. And obviously, of course, Jaw's historic performance. So, yes, a lot of negative takeaways from last night, but I think there's also a few reasons to remain positive. And I do think that if the Grizzlies can get a much-needed win on Saturday, that really will allow for them to forget this game and propel themselves forward. But that's the one thing that I'll end with, is that this Saturday against the Hawks, the Grizzlies are going to be playing a team for when the Hawks starters were on the court and the Grizzlies starters were on the court. The Grizzlies starters outscored the Hawks starters by more than 30 points in the preseason. Now, don't read too much into it. A lot of different things are going on in the preseason, and Trae Young had an unbelievable performance on opening night. But the big reason why Saturday, to me, is a huge game is because of this. After this game on Saturday, the Grizzlies are going to be playing at Brooklyn, at Boston. They'll then have a game against the Hornets. But then after that, they welcome L.A. for twice to the FedEx Forum to start January. The Grizzlies, after the Hawks game, are facing four out of five opponents who are true title contenders. And that's the thing about the Grizzlies, is that if they start 2-5 or worse this season, which if they lose to the Hawks becomes a real, a reality, that right there, even though it's just seven games, that right there is, unfortunately, you know, it's starting to dig a hole that's going to be hard to climb out of, you know, until Justice and Jaren are back. So a big game for the Grizzlies. I know it's only the second game of the season. I don't mean to overreact. Don't mean to be fantastical in my approach. But the Grizzlies at this point right now with the roster that they have got to win as many of these sensible games for them to win, as many of these games where either it's pretty even or they're the slight favorites. They've got to win as many games as possible that present those scenarios. And if the Grizzlies can get the same performance from Dylan and Kyle Anderson that they got last night, Ja can be on his game, obviously, and they can get the boost from the bench, I think that they should be in a good spot on Saturday against Atlanta. But speaking of good times, I hope that you, your family, your loved ones, you have a wonderful Christmas Eve. Make it as memorable as possible. Watch as many Christmas movies. Have as much eggnog. Have as much desserts as possible. And that you have an absolutely memorable, wonderful, and just cherishable Christmas Day. I know that of all years, that's something that we all need, and that I hope that each and every one of you get to enjoy that. My name's Sean Coleman. Again, you can follow me at StatsSAC on Twitter. You can follow the show at Locked On Grizz. Follow the podcast wherever it's available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts, we are there. Don't forget, coming up a little bit later on today, very excited to talk with Anchorage Man, also known as Seth Partnow, a big researcher over at the Athletic NBA. He'll be joining us to discuss a recent article that him and Dave DeFore wrote about the Grizzlies. Season preview, bringing all things Grizzlies down. We'll talk with him about the Grizzlies, their perception around the NBA, as well as where Ja really ranks among the young stars around the NBA. Really looking forward to that. Until next time, very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to you and your loved ones. And we'll talk to myself, Sean Coleman. I'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.